Part 1. The Star-Lord. 1. So ends the first part of the legend, and all of it is true. Now for some facts, which are equally true, from the League Handbook for Galactic Area 8. Number 62, Fomalhaut 2. Type AE Carbon Life. An iron core planet, diameter 6,600 miles, with heavy oxygen-rich atmosphere. Revolution, 800 Earth days, 8 hours, 11 minutes, 42 seconds. Rotation, 29 hours, 51 minutes, 02 seconds. Mean distance from Sun, 3.2 AU. Orbital eccentricity slight. Obliquity of ecliptic, 27 degrees, 20 minutes, 20 seconds, causing marked seasonal change. Gravity, 0.86 standard. Four major landmasses, northwest, southwest, east, and Antarctic continents, occupy 38% of planetary surface. Four satellites, types Perner, Luklic, R2, and Phobos. The companion of Fomalhaut is visible as a super-bright star. Nearest League world, New South Georgia, capital Kerguelen, 7.88 light-years. History. The planet was charted by the Eliasson expedition in 202, robot probed in 218. First geographical survey, 235-6, director J. Kiolov. The major landmasses were surveyed by air, see maps 3114ABC, 3115A and B. Landings, geological and biological studies, and HILF contacts were made only on east and northwest continents. See description of intelligent species below. Technological enhancement mission to species 1A, 252-4, director J. Kiolov, northwest continent only. Control and taxation missions to species 1A and 2 were carried out under auspices of the Area Foundation in Kerguelen, New South Georgia, in 254, 258, 262, 266, 270. In 275, the planet was placed under interdict by the All-World Health Authority, pending more adequate study of its intelligent species. First Ethnographic Survey, 321, Director G. Rokanen. A high tree of blinding white grew quickly, soundlessly, up the sky from behind the sound ridge. Guards on the towers of Hallen Castle cried out, striking bronze on bronze. Their small voices and clangor of warning were swallowed by the roar of sound, the hammer stroke of wind, the staggering of the forest. Mogien of Hallen met his guest, the Star-Lord, on the run, heading for the flight court of the castle. "Was your ship behind South Ridge, Star-Lord?" Very white in the face, but quiet-voiced as usual, the other said, "It was." "Come with me." Mogien took his guest on the postillion saddle of the windsteed that waited, ready, saddled, in the flight court. Down the thousand steps, across the chasm bridge, off over the sloping forests of the domain of Hallen, the steed flew like a gray leaf on the wind. As it crossed over South Ridge, the riders saw smoke rise blue through the level gold lances of the first sunlight. A forest fire was fizzling out among damp, cool thickets in the stream bed of the mountainside. Suddenly, beneath them, a hole dropped away in the side of the hills, a black pit filled with smoking black dust. At the edge of the wide circle of annihilation lay trees burnt to long smears of charcoal, all pointing their fallen tops away from the pit of blackness. The young lord of Hallen held his gray steed steady on the updraft from the wrecked valley and stared down, saying nothing. There were old tales from his grandfather's and great-grandfather's time of the first coming of the Star-Lords, how they had burnt away hills and made the sea boil with their terrible weapons, and with the threat of those weapons had forced all the lords of Angian to pledge them fealty and tribute. For the first time now, Mogian believed those tales. His breath was stuck in his throat for a second. Your ship was... The ship was here. I was to meet the others here today. Lord Mogian, tell your people to avoid this place for a while, till after the rains, next cold year.
A spell?
A poison. Rain will rid the land of it. The Star-Lord's voice was still quiet, but he was looking down, and all at once he began to speak again, not to Mogian, but to that black pit beneath them, now striped with the bright early sunlight. Mogian understood no word he said, for he spoke in his own tongue, the speech of the Star-Lords, and there was no man now in Angian, or all the world, who spoke that tongue. The young Angia checked his nervous mount. Behind him, the Star-Lord drew a deep breath and said, Let's go back to Hallen. There is nothing here. The steed wheeled over the smoking slopes. Lord Rokanan, if your people are at war now among the stars, I pledge in your defense the swords of Hallen. I thank you, Lord Mogian, said the Star-Lord, clinging to the saddle, the wind of their flight whipping at his bowed, graying head. The long day passed. The night wind gusted at the casements of his room in the tower of Hallen Castle, making the fire and the wide hearth flicker. Cold year was nearly over. The restlessness of spring was in the wind. When he raised his head, he smelled the sweet, musty fragrance of grass tapestries hung on the walls and the sweet, fresh fragrance of night in the forests outside. He spoke into his transmitter once more. Rokanan here. This is Rokanan. Can you answer? He listened to the silence of the receiver a long time, then once more tried ship frequency. Rokanan here. When he noticed how low he was speaking, almost whispering, he stopped and cut off the set. They were dead, all 14 of them, his companions and his friends. They had all been on Fomalhaut II for half one of the planet's long years, and it had been time for them to confer and compare notes. So Smait and his crew had come around from East Continent and picked up the Antarctic crew on the way, and ended up back here to meet with Rokanan, the director of the first ethnographic survey, the man who had brought them all here. And now they were dead. And their work, all their notes, pictures, tapes, all that would have justified their death to them, that was all gone too, blown to dust with them, wasted with them. Rokanan turned on his radio again to emergency frequency. But he did not pick up the transmitter. To call was only to tell the enemy that there was a survivor. He sat still. When a resounding knock came at his door, he said in the strange tongue he would have to speak from now on, Come in. In strode the young lord of Hallen, Mogian, who had been his best informant for the culture and mores of Species 2, and who now controlled his fate. Mogian was very tall, like all his people, bright-haired and dark-skinned, his handsome face schooled to a stern calm through which sometimes broke the lightning of powerful emotions, anger, ambition, joy. He was followed by his Olgior servant Raho, who set down a yellow flask and two cups on a chest, poured the cups full and withdrew. The heir of Hallen spoke. I would drink with you, Star-Lord. And my kin with yours and our sons together, Lord, replied the ethnologist, who had not lived on 9 different exotic planets without learning the value of good manners. He and Mogian raised their wooden cups bound with silver and drank. The word box, Mogian said, looking at the radio, it will not speak again.
Not with my friends' voices.
Mogian's walnut-dark face showed no feeling, but he said,
Lord Rokanan, the weapon that killed them, this is beyond all imagining.
The League of All Worlds keeps such weapons for use in the war to come, not against our own worlds.
Is this the war, then?
I think not,
Yadam, whom you knew was staying with the ship, he would have heard news of that on the Ansible in the ship and radioed me at once. There would have been warning. This must be a rebellion against the League. There was rebellion brewing on a world called Faraday when I left Kerguelen, and by Sun's time that was 9 years ago. This little word box cannot speak to the city, Kerguelen?
No.
And even if it did, it would take the words 8 years to go there, and the answer 8 years to come back to me. Rokanen spoke with his usual grave and simple politeness, but his voice was a little dull as he explained his exile. You remember the Ansible, the machine I showed you in the ship, which can speak instantly to other worlds with no loss of years. It was that they were after, I expect. It was only bad luck that my friends were all at the ship with it. Without it, I can do nothing.
But if your kinfolk, your friends in the city Kerguelen, call you on the Ansible and there is no answer, will they not come to see?
Mogian saw the answer as Rokanen said it, in 8 years. When he had shown Mogian over the survey ship and shown him the instantaneous transmitter, the Ansible, Rokanen had told him also about the new kind of ship that could go from one star to another in no time at all.
"Was the ship that killed your friends an FTL?" inquired the Angiar warlord.
"No, it was manned. There are enemies here, on this world now." This became clear to Mogian when he recalled that Rokanen had told him that living creatures could not ride the FTL ships and live. They were used only as robot bombers, weapons that could appear and strike and vanish, all within a moment. It was a queer story, but no queerer than the story Mogian knew to be true, that though the kind of ship Rokanen had come here on took years and years to ride the night between the worlds, those years, to the men in the ship, seemed only a few hours. In the city Kerguelen, on the star Forosol, this man, Rokanen, had spoken to Semli of Hallen and given her the jewel Eye of the Sea nearly 100 years ago. Semli, who had lived 16 years in one night, was long dead. Her daughter Haldra was an old woman, her grandson Mogian, a grown man. Yet here sat Rokanen, who was not old. Those years had passed for him in riding between the stars. It was very strange, but there were other tales, stranger yet.
"When my mother's mother, Semli, rode across the night," Mogian began and paused.
"There was never so fair a lady in all the worlds," said the Star-Lord, his face less sorrowful for a moment.
"The lord who befriended her is welcome among her kinfolk," said Mogian. "But I meant to ask, Lord, what ship she rode. Was it ever taken from the clay folk? Does it have the Ansible on it, so you could tell your kinfolk of this enemy?"
For a second, Rokanen looked thunderstruck. Then he calmed down. "No," he said, "it doesn't. It was given to the clay folk 70 years ago. There was no instantaneous transmission then, and it would not have been installed recently because the planet's been under interdict for 45 years now. Due to me, because I interfered. Because after I met Lady Semli, I went to my people and said, 'What are we doing on this world we don't know anything about? Why are we taking their money and pushing them about? What right have we?' But if I'd left the situation alone, at least there'd be someone coming here every couple of years. You wouldn't be completely at the mercy of this invader."
"What does an invader want with us?" Mogian inquired, not modestly, but curiously.
"He wants your planet, I suppose. Your world. Your Earth. Perhaps yourselves as slaves. I don't know."
"If the clay folk still have that ship, Rokanen, and if the ship goes to the city, you could go and rejoin your people."
The Star-Lord looked at him a minute. "I suppose I could," he said. His tone was dull again. There was silence between them for a minute longer, and then Rokanen spoke with passion.
I left you people open to this. I brought my own people into it, and they're dead. I'm not going to run off 8 years into the future and find out what happened next. Listen, Lord Mogyen, if you could help me get south to the Clayfolk, I might get the ship and use it here on the planet, scout about with it. At least, if I can't change its automatic drive, I can send it off to Kerguelen with a message. But I'll stay here. Semli found it, the tale tells, in the caves of the Gdemiar near the Kyrian Sea. Will you lend me a windsteed, Lord Mogyen? And my company, if you will. With thanks. The clay folk are bad hosts to lone guests, said Mogyen, looking pleased. Not even the thought of that ghastly black hole blown in the mountainside could quell the itch in the two long swords hitched to Mogian's belt. It had been a long time since the last foray. May our enemy die without sons, the Angia said gravely, raising his refilled cup. Rokanan, whose friends had been killed without warning in an unarmed ship, did not hesitate. May they die without sons, he said, and drank with Mogyen, there in the yellow light of rushlights and double moon, in the high tower of Hallan.